At the heart of every franchise, there is money. A few rabid fans unite to buy their tickets. We can be Transformers in our own lives. Every one of us. If we only have enough sequels to watch. Our opinions were always intertwined. But now, our voices are joined as one. We need to record more episodes. Together, if we wish to survive. There is more to this podcast than meets the eye. We are Sequel Rights. Calling all listeners. It is time to start the show.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Sequel Rights, the podcast where we take a look at the franchises that make you go, they made how many of those? And we give each and every sequel a fair trial. My name is Justin Camps, and I'm here with
Elizabeth Helly
and
Merlin. I mean, Tyler. I mean, Stanley Tucci.
He's certainly on his way to be drunk.
Okay. I'm kidding. I hope not.
That's a joke. That's a joke. We have fun. Welcome as we continue our countdown and lead up to Transformers Rise of the Beast. And we're here talking about Transformers The Last Night, the last of the Michael Bay sequels. And lucky for us, we have a special returning guest with us. You might remember him from our infamous Scream 2022 episode where things got real effed up and it was terrible. And I hope you still listen to it, but I'm sorry. Matt Dartnell is here. He's
what
back.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me back.
This one, I promise you guys, is going to be right.
Thanks for coming back and speaking to us again.
My absolute pleasure. I've been They said that this is recording in 600 different places, so we should be good.
We outsource a recording, you know, to a different country as well. They're recording over there.
That's right.
It's going to be recorded everywhere. Don't worry.
In the past,
in the future.
In the future.
And hopefully our words will come out in the correct order this time.
This sounds like the plot of a Transformers movie.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Here we go.
Strap in.
That's actually why, you know, last time I got messed up, we used one of the inventions from Cade Yeager.
Not Cade Yeager.
Yeah. He's an inventor. Did you know?
He's good.
Yeah, well, what has he invented?
Lots of things that you totally know.
You know, I mean, we haven't even done anything yet, but he's invented a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
We might get to that later.
Yeah.
Before we get too far, first of all, thanks for being here. Second of all, Eliz, where can people reach out?
Yeah, you can email us, sequelrights@gmail.com, or find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Sequel Rights.
And rate and review us wherever you're listening. Follow us on Spotify. All that really helps other people find the podcast and makes us feel warm and fuzzy inside. Gives us all the energon we need.
Before we do get into it, let's just hear a little bit about Cade. One second here. Here we go.
I'm an inventor.
Oh, you're an inventor?
Yes, I am.
What have you invented?
A lot of things.
Like?
Like a lot of things. Like things that you've heard of.
Like?
Well, things that you will have heard of, okay? Patents are pending.
I was going to play that later, but you guys were already talking about
there
it.
There we go.
We already performed that entire scene.
I know. I was like, yeah. But you got to hear it from Mark Wahlberg himself.
He just brings so much compassion to that hollow character.
In case you didn't remember what his character was all about last episode.
Yeah. Matt, what's your history with the Transformers?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like them in a lot of ways. They got progressively worse. I think Last Night is one of the better ones, though, weirdly enough.
Ah.
At least, or especially because of just the big idea of the movie, I think is really cool. But I worked at a movie theater when the first one came out. Mm. So I would have been like 17.
Yeah.
And same. I remember thinking it was going to be awful. And I think a lot of that was just like, I didn't understand tonally how you would sell this movie. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, but I've seen the cartoons and I've played with the toys and I've seen this trailer and I'm just like, I think it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be bad. And then it ended up being, I think, very cool, especially when you're 17.
Hell yeah.
And I think at that point, if you would have asked me, I would probably say that The Island was my favorite movie of all time.
Nice.
I really liked The Island.
Good one.
And so I was primed and excited and not at all disappointed by it.
You were like, impressed. Steve Jablonski's back from The Island?
Oh, fuck. Here we go. Now there's robots.
That's right.
And yeah, you've touched on this in previous episodes, but I think the tone of the movie informed a lot of what came after, sort of where the first one fell in terms of like the MCU and stuff like that, I think is really important.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool. And then they got real bad.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. But yeah, you talked about how you like this one, but let's get into it.
It started as a legend. One of the greatest of all. Thousand years we've kept it hidden. To protect Earth from what was destined to arrive.
Optimus Prime, you destroyed your home. Do you seek redemption?
My maker, I do.
Your daughter, what would you say to her?
Brush your teeth, work hard. Stay away from any boy in a band, especially a drummer.
These are troubled times. Without leaders, chaos reigns. Two worlds colliding. You're all that stand in its way.
Now the greatest mission of them all, to turn the tide of human history.
I hope that's so long.
It helps us get in the zone.
Okay.
It's like, proportional to the movie.
Let's just watch Westworld.
Oh my God.
I wanted to hear Anthony.
Okay, but he's so much funnier in this movie than any of Westworld.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
He's really good in this. Anthony Hopkins is very good in this movie. He's having such a good time.
He's the only person having a good time.
That's true.
The robots, I don't know. Bumblebee's maybe having a good time.
He gets to kill Shia LaBeouf off screen, which is fun.
He also gets to kill some Nazi soldiers. I think that clip, it does not convey the comedic timing of Anthony Hopkins,
yes,
unfortunately, but it does convey just the insane tone that this movie reaches for, which is like so earnest and so melodramatic with just the worst story, but like a lot of misplaced heart. And it's pretty fun.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, the military is back.
The military is back, baby.
The military is back.
I didn't think they were for the beginning of the movie. Like the first two-thirds, I was like, sweet, no more military again, just like last time. And then, oh boy.
And then it's like aircraft carriers, submarines.
What are those things called? Ospreys? They were everywhere.
One of those smash cuts to just an ocean full of aircraft carriers. Yes. I was like, what? Where are we right now? What is happening?
That's just what the ocean looks like on a normal day.
I gotta say, when Michael Bay gets that Pentagon money, gets the movies do get much bigger and better in quality.
Yeah, and I think for some reason they're like, all right, if we're bringing the military back, we can't have them without bringing back Dumel and Morshauer. Yeah. Like, they got to be here, otherwise it won't make any sense that the military still exists.
I know. I love the Josh Dumel reveal, because this movie has, they introduce a new, like, Black Ops Transformer, anti-Transformer group called the TRF.
The Which TERFs?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. I think it stands
they're
for...
They're that, too. You know it.
we're going to talk about the politics. Yeah.
Transformers yeah, Reaction movie. Force. Okay, good.
My favorite part is later when they're in Europe. There's someone who kicks down the door and is like, British TRF.
Yeah. Just in case you weren't like, sure.
That's what we're called. the okay. British TRF.
So this is one of the things that I liked about this movie. And one of the things that I... This was my first watch for this movie.
Okay.
And
amazing.
I didn't realize that it was like post-apocalyptic.
Yes.
Basically. Mm-hmm. Where there's these forbidden zones where the war has happened. And then you can go to safety. You can go to Oxford College and just have a normal day and teach your classes about skepticism, even though Transformers totally exist. And I thought that the world building of this movie, or like where it's taken it with the previous movies, of course, like it worked for me. It was really interesting. Yeah. Yeah, it was cool.
Did you enjoy the, alternate history bits of Dark of the Moon? Well, how about an entire movie of that?
Yes.
Now the Transformers are a part of everything.
Which is interesting. I mean, I think, I don't even know if it's on this podcast or just in my life, but I talk about this all the time, about, like, where was Wonder Woman during World War II? We still don't know, but the Transformers were definitely there. The Transformers Harriet Tubman solve a little bit of slavery, but not all of it. You know, like, they helped with a little bit of World War II and then maybe killed Hitler, but let everyone think it was a suicide.
Right. And that's where the movie starts. Is like, it's not just back until the mid-1800s. It's like, they've been here since the beginning. Here's King Arthur. It's the Dark Ages. And Merlin has to go find his secret Transformers.
Yeah, I think I overhyped Drunk Tucci, because that was the only thing I remembered from this movie. Yes.
He's in the first
2 minutes.
He's in to me, that was like the entire movie when I saw it.
I will say,
I wish.
Yeah.
The Age of Extinction, we saw the Transformers going back further.
We did.
Than what we see here. And then
they do go kind of.
Yeah, they were like building the pyramids.
there was
no, that was the other one. That was the Fallen.
But in Age of Extinction, it's prehistoric life. Like they're the first ice age, basically.
Yeah, so Arthur is like, whatever.
Yeah, Arthur. Well, I love the idea that they like, we're hidden to humankind, but like the Saxons, that's where we're going to intervene.
Yeah, exactly. And they were the way that Tucci, you know, appeals to the Transformers that are there. He's like, your world was destroyed. Don't let ours be destroyed. And I was like, you are not under the threat of extinction from some other like species. You're just fighting other humans about religion and land.
That's
disputes.
How it felt to them.
Okay, I guess. But I was like, that's like not the same the thing. Even World War II is not the same as what happened on whatever their
the guy.
So,
yeah.
So
the
you're
guy,
saying what? Would it be interesting to see if some of the Germanic tribes were like, these Romans, they're going to be the end of everything. Transformers, please help us.
That's why he's heading out in a cave. He's been petitioned by every Merlin and every civilization. Yeah, and they're like, you don't understand. We're going to die. And he's like, shut the fuck up.
I mean, there's a guy in the movie, in the very beginning of the movie, that looks at the Saxon horde running at them and literally is like,
this is what the end looks like.
See? So there you go.
Right,
they thought it was the end.
Fine.
That's
one. It's not even like a continent. It's like one little ass island. Yeah. Like, what were the Transformers doing during like Genghis Khan and all that, you know? Well, they had Shang-Chi or
the Greeks, Shang-Chi's the Romans.
But yeah, like my favorite example of this is always like the Minions who are supporting every worst villain throughout time, and they support Napoleon and they support Genghis Khan, and then like after Napoleon, they just kind of wander into a ice cave and support a abominable snowman monster, and they just miss everything all the way up until the British invasion in the 1960s.
The Transformers, also a film ostensibly for, you know, kids and stuff a little bit.
Sure.
They don't care about them. They'll put in the Nazis, no problem.
Yeah.
As long as they're getting fucked up.
Yeah.
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 Kill those Nazis.
Sure.
They'll film the Nazis at Winston Churchill's home. No problem.
Yeah, no problem.
That's where it was filmed.
You know? Oh my gosh. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, the Transformers have always been here. Even more than we thought they were.
I love in that Nazi killing scene where there's the one guy who's just like in the trunk. And so there's like a whole like transforming shot where like he rolls out. And then there's like 60 guys, but that guy had to be like shoved into the little trunk.
It's true. I like the idea of Bumblebee being like fighting in World War II and stuff. It's kind of funny. I mean, I don't know.
It's really fun. They sell it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, it's cool.
It actually works.
And there's that old, like, the Anthony Hopkins has that old, like, World War I tank that's also a Transformer that has dimension, I guess.
The submarine that's a Transformer.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Everyone's a Transformer
the
these days.
The Earth is a Transformer.
You know what else is a Transformer? Anthony Hopkins' cane.
Yeah.
Transforms into a gun. I don't know.
Do you think Anthony Hopkins took inspiration for the father from this Transformer who has robot dementia, as it is described in this film?
That crossed my mind.
Okay. Yeah. Academy Award winning performance in The Father.
Brought to you by Michael Bay. Again, another part of these movies.
This movie's all over the place, and I don't know if you guys want to talk a little bit about the story of what was going on in the Transformers franchise at this time is like, you know, Michael Bay, the last one was supposed to be his last movie. He's coming back for this one, and to make things interesting, I think, and to plan things out in case, like, you know, this was going to be his last one, to plan things out for the future, they set up this writer's room with all these people that were, like, supposed to be coming up with all these ideas, and, like...
And boy, did they.
They show them on the special features, coming up with all these ideas. And if this movie feels like six movies.
For this movie?
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be for other movies. But I think what happened in that writer's room, they came up with like a Dark Ages movie. And they came up with like a coming of age World War II movie. And I think Michael Bay was like, those ideas sound cool. I want them for this one. And that's why it's kind of like all these things mashed up into one thing and all these random ideas.
That being said, watching this movie, I get the experience where, like, in the opening, I'm like, damn, I would watch a full Michael Bay, like, Arthurian, you know. I guess we kind of did see that.
The action scenes in this movie at the beginning with Transformers fighting in the fucking Dark Ages is maybe the coolest shit I've ever seen in my life.
And I would watch, like, his World War II Transformers movies. Like those action sequences are fun.
And I would say I never felt so attacked by the Paramount Mountain. Yeah. In this movie. The mountain appears and immediately launches like catapults at us. It's kind of funny.
Well, I think because like that is, I think, the central issue of this movie is I think the idea is really cool. I think the performances are really fun. But like the rhythm of this movie is so frustrating because it's non-existent. Like it just has that like music video logic to it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad that you pointed out, I don't know, that Michael Bay just came into the room and was like, well, this looks cool and this looks cool. So, like, they're part of the movie now.
Yeah. Like, they're like, no. This was, like, an idea for, like, a separate entire film with Transformers in the Dark Ages. Yeah.
It just keeps changing what movie it is, too. Yeah. Because in the beginning, we've got, like, these kids and this girl. And we're going to get back to that Amblin thing that we wanted from the very beginning, you know. And then they are just immediately disposed
of. Her character feels so tacked on. Like,
yeah,
I love Squeaks.
Well, she was cool. Cute, like she should have either stuck around or not been in it at all. Yeah. Like this whole, she's here in the beginning and then she randomly pops up at the end is just like bizarre.
It makes it feel like that Michael Bay shot like all five of these movies and then got bored in the edit room. Like was just like, no, that's enough of that. No, that's enough of that one. Like this movie loses interest in itself by the end.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the thing is like the issues with this movie is the duct tape used to connect all this bullshit because like, why is there a magic staff and why is this character who's the only person in all of history that can wield it in this movie? Why have you totally written out Mark Wahlberg's daughter for some reason where he can call her every once in a while, but not have a
conversation?
Can't receive voice memos. Yeah. That's it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like they have a walkie. It's like frequency. He has a magic walkie talkie.
He texts her like something randomly from another soldier's phone and doesn't say who it is or anything.
I really wanted to see her response, be like, who is this?
Like, he just says, like, look up in the sky. I'm there for you. That's all it says.
It's like, wow, these car insurance things are getting real aggressive.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so at the end of this movie, which by the end, when, like, Optimus returns from outer space where they just
so can I happen can to I, put him can so, I want to just before
wait, let
that.
Him finish
sorry
his,
sorry
let
sorry
him
so
finish
at, so at the ending when the movie's totally falling apart is this thing which like you're all kind of hinting at is like characters identify, and this feels like the writer's kind of saying fuck you to Michael Bay, but the characters are like why are you here, and then the other character goes I have no idea, like that is a line of dialogue in this movie is the characters being like We had to be. That's the answer. Yeah, that's the answer. Here.
I was on the call sheet.
No, there are so many ideas in this movie that the end of the last movie has Optimus Prime flying into space to kill God, and they're like, "That's boring. Let's not do that."
I love that. Yeah, this movie picks and chooses what it wants to continue from the last film. There's like some of it kind of continued, but like Galvatron is not a thing anymore.
Megatron
like,
I'm is normal.
Just, yeah.
Megatron. By the way, isn't that like also the plot of Superman Returns, that Superman like left to go back to Krypton and then just like came back way later?
Yeah.
Or to find out what happened to his home planet, essentially.
I just felt bad that like, yeah, the first time we see Optimus, it makes it feel like he failed in that, and he's like
frozen, he's floating
freeze.
Around.
He's like, oh fuck, I didn't think I would freeze. I'm a robot. I don't know. He just fucked up, and now he's floating through space. It's insane.
And he just immediately turns evil because of Gemma Chan, which, like, okay, sure.
Yeah. Who wouldn't? We get it.
Yeah, I mean, like, the whole world and every casting director ever was just like, I think the entire world wants to be dominated by this woman. Like, she is both the creator and destroyer of life and all worlds.
She's
in every franchise for the rest of our lives. Like,
I do like that.
Fair.
That she looks very human compared
to all Transformers.
I'm like, God looks like us.
Yeah.
But I guess that is the like Prometheus element of this, where it's like the Earth is a Transformer. We've been here a long
time. Well, and there's never been any female coded until now. Like, we talked about this. There's like in the new trailer, there's the Transformer RC, with boobs.
Because there are in the cartoons. there's
That's all I know. I'm like, oh, that must be a lady Transformer.
You know, and yeah.
In the cartoons, there's definitely lady Transformers.
Yeah, but there were have not been in these movies.
Maybe for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Michael Bay just couldn't even fathom it. He's just like, no.
He was like,
robots have balls.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what would I even write for them?
The Optimus part of this movie is him like going away to college and meeting this woman who's like, we're going to change your politics. And he's like, yeah, you're right.
You know
and
what?
He comes back to Earth and then his friends are like, what the fuck happened to you? And he's like, I don't know. I'll break up with my girlfriend.
That's
I'm sorry.
Movie,
Nemesis
yeah.
Prime. It's like, I don't know, Optimus.
Optimus, you're being real weird right now, dude.
That was like, yeah, I just like the Quintessa thing. She's so underbaked. Like, I don't even know what the deal, you know, we leave the last.
I didn't know she had a name.
Yeah, her name is Quintessa.
Quintessa.
And she's the prime,
barefoot Quintessa.
She's the self-proclaimed prime of life.
Also, I do like that she fully bitch slaps him, like, before doing anything. Like, she's like, you know what, bitch? And she just fucking slaps him in the face before even hypnotizing him or anything.
That was Optimus's sexual
awakening. Yeah, it really was.
I am Nemesis now.
Well, I looked it up. I didn't know this, but Nemesis Prime is a real, like, G1, character that is... also often connected to Unicron, where it's like it's like a corrupted version of Optimus where he has no morals and just like is evil.
Sure.
But it becomes Unicron Silver Surfer, if you will, because Unicron is Galactus in the Transformers lore.
And we'll get to Unicron later if you've seen the trailers for the new movie.
That's right. Hopefully also voiced by Orson Welles. Like in the animated movie. Yeah.
I don't know anything.
AI Orson Welles better be in this Rise of the Beast, otherwise I'm gonna fucking riot.
I just remember, the whole
talking
Optimus thing. That was I remember when we all went to go see this, or except for Tyler, I guess. We went to go see this.
I was busy making commercials.
Yeah, at the TCL,
I couldn't go
IMAX
see this
theater.
Commercial. Mark Wahlberg loves Bud Light.
There's a whole nother Bud Light sequence. Right. Yeah, we got that. I just remember being like disappointed that. Optimus is like gone for most of the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
He does have one of my favorite Optimus Prime moments later on, but I was just like, why is he not in this more? And I don't like him being evil. Sorry.
It's weird.
It's a little weird.
And like, we don't spend much time with that, thankfully or unfortunately. It's weird.
It makes it meaningless.
Just like people don't like evil Superman.
Because, like, that's the movie. That's the movie. It's not actually about Optimus going to college. It's about a magic staff, and it's a game of capture the flag. And everyone that we've seen in previous movies, they come back and they all want it for some reason so that they can control. I don't know why. Is it so that they can control the Earth Transformer?
It's so confusing.
Is it so that they can defeat the Earth Transformer? I really couldn't tell
There's
you.
So much.
But that's the movie. It's just like, honestly, some genuinely good individual scenes that I like, and then we cut to the next scene, and I have a little bit of a stroke, and then I'm like, okay, but this is okay. And then it happens again for 2.5 hours.
One of the other movies we haven't talked about that's in this is that there's a Suicide Squad of Decepticons with the U.S. military.
Please tell me
you have a clip of all the
names. I don't have a clip. It's too long.
Oh my God. There really is.
This is the scene that I hate. Hate this.
Also, it's like ever since the first movie, we can never just have like Megatron and the Decepticons be like the bad guy. There's always some other person that is like the bad, you know, the bad guy. And then the Decepticons are like, oh, we're also here. You know, like towards the end.
We work for, and it just
work for the government.
It just muddles everything. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like all the lore and what's happening in this movie is so, there's so much of it, and it's all explained like, oh, you have to go here, and they're like in the middle of a car chase, and like, oh yeah, well, this is the thing, and you got to get the staff, but only you can get the staff because you're a descendant of this person, but you're a descendant of Merlin, and you're a descendant of an Arthur, and
I'm Hopkins, and I have a clockwork man that's a psychopath.
Yeah, he tries to
kill
people.
My car is bitching.
I will say,
Hot Rod's French for some reason.
I watched this movie. This is the second time I don't think I saw it again since I saw it in theaters. And I'm still confused. Like the whole Unicron stuff, obviously, we'll talk about it. It was like clearly going to be a setup for another movie that hasn't happened yet or probably won't happen. But it's just all really confusing. And it doesn't make sense exactly like what Quintess is doing. I don't know. But.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I came prepared with some questions where I was like, can any of you explain to me this part? And there's not a lot of
Let's find out.
But, well, it's really like all the Stonehenge stuff, like the Stonehenge stuff as like the summoning point. Like, is that just, okay, so if there's these six spikes coming out of the earth, that I guess is one big Transformer god, then Stonehenge represents its mouth or like
its butthole.
I just don't understand the purpose of this and why there's like a mystery to be solved, which again is a fun scene of Totoro and Hopkins being like, hey,
why?
Let me into your secret society over the phone and also I'll tell you the mystery. And I like
the idea that like, okay, these latitude longitude points don't make any sense until you put them back to like where they were in Pangea. And now Stonehenge is in the center. Like that is a cool idea.
That is like really good.
But then it just falls apart.
Also the cleverness.
Also the horns start coming up at the end, but I don't think Pangea rehappened. So like what the, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It's like, it's not, it can't just be one big, well, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Stretched out.
So let me tell you my experience of watching this movie.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear it since you hadn't seen it yet.
So I had not seen it, and I watched the majority of it on Monday evening. It is now 4 days later, and I turned on the final 30 minutes of this movie today, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? I can't, like, this is so convoluted.
Maybe the worst part of the movie.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, right, Merlin. And oh, right, Stone. Like, yeah, Earth is Unicron. Because the entire movie, because it is so nonsensical, had been wiped from my brain. I had to, like, pick up my notes and, like, that's right, she's Merlin's descendant. Right, okay.
Yeah, this was the first Transformers movie that I saw, and so I remembered now, once I started watching this, that I actually, this is very bad, I did think that this lady was Megan Fox for like 3/4 of the movie, and then finally I was like, you know what, I don't think that's Megan Fox. Like, finally, I was like,
just transformed halfway through.
I just was like, wow, really interesting that she's like a British character. I guess this must be from the other movies. I don't know. And then at the end, I was finally like, oh, wait, no, that's not her, is it? Like, just because, you know, I don't know.
It's just funny that, like, yeah, now thinking back on all the things that you hadn't seen when you went to go see that, I was like, watching this and I'm like, wow, Eliz must have been just like totally confused.
I didn't understand it
by
at all,
everything.
Yeah. Which, and I'm now realizing, yeah. But I did, let's before we leave behind the very beginning of this movie, I did write down the child star check-in for kids. Okay, so like, if you thought it was racist when Mark Wahlberg called that little girl Little J-Lo, it definitely was. But if you called her Dora the Explorer, you actually wouldn't be racist because she is literally Dora the Explorer, Isabella Merced. And that's her name in the movie. Her name is Isabella, so yeah, that I guess must have been convenient. Her bangs are crazy in this movie. And also, I was like, wow, this girl is so young, they can't possibly sexualize her. Finally, a female character that won't be sexualized, and then she is immediately sexualized by one of the teen boys who's like in love with her right away.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
They're in the movie for 2 seconds.
Impossible not to sexualize.
Yeah, Michael Bay doesn't know how to point a camera that way.
Yeah,
a whole gang of kids just for no reason.
Yeah.
And so I was interested in them.
The other four: Benjamin Flores Jr. He's in Your Honor with Bryan Cranston. It's supposed to be good. I haven't watched it.
He plays the judge.
I haven't seen it.
That I know. Yeah, I don't think this kid plays the judge, but. He's a Camp Cretaceous goer.
Oh,
and okay, he was in all the Fear Streets, which I didn't watch, but I think you did.
Oh, I didn't watch the final one, but the first
he was in all three.
Somehow. Justin was too scared.
Yeah. Then there's Julio Cesar, which is one word, Chavez. He was in The War with Grandpa and Stargirl and a bunch of other.
I saw Stargirl.
I know you did because it was a Disney Plus original.
Musical? Was that a musical?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not entirely. See,
I thought that was a CWDC thing.
There's already a sequel to Stargirl.
There is, yeah. Okay. I think that's also called Stargirl. Samuel Parker, I guess he must be in college now because he's in a movie called Rooming with Danger.
Oh.
So, yeah. And then Daniel Iturriaga was in the Hulu movie Sex App Eel, like with the APP capitalized because it had something to do with like app sex.
Sex apps?
I don't know. Yeah, it was like a teen comedy about apps.
Maybe it was a.
Sounds terrible.
Based around a restaurant and they served appetizers.
Maybe.
Sex.
That's true.
Sex appetizers.
It was about the sex positive TGI Fridays culture.
It's just called foreplay, Justin. Sex appetizers.
You guys do sex appetizers? I don't
know. Okay. Well, anyways, those are all the children, and then they're immediately booted out of the movie.
Sex appetizers are indeed called foreplay.
They're out of the movie.
That's it.
And then we go to the junkyard.
Do you think that they shot an entire movie with them and then they were just like, nah, maybe. They were like Super 8 tanked. Let's cut them out.
Man. All that we get is that like initial father-daughter scene with Mark Wahlberg and her where she's like, yeah, my family got nuked by a Decepticon missile. And he's like, the government won't let me talk to my daughter.
Yeah. She's still alive.
But you can be my new daughter.
Yeah, she's
so then I can't talk to you later.
At the end, she's like, you said we were family. And he's like, I didn't mean it literally, you psychopath.
We just went to the Olive Garden. I might be hungry. I'm talking about restaurants a lot.
I can't believe this movie was like less than 10 years ago, and now Gerard Carmichael is like the coolest, edgiest person ever. And yet he's in this movie. Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
I totally forgot he was in this
movie.
Yeah.
One of I think on the last episode, you mentioned the, like, wait till you see who's in the next movie. Who did you mean about that?
You probably meant Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, I didn't think I even said that, but that wasn't me. But I think it was you.
I can't remember.
It
might have been Tyler, actually, even though he didn't see it.
Oh, yeah.
I was genuinely shocked.
Oh, I think it was Tucci, maybe. I mean, no. I think it was Totoro, I think.
Oh, Totoro. Yeah. Coming back.
Totoro is weird. Stanley Tucci as Merlin at the beginning of the movie. Weird. Only in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Weird. Delightful. Really enjoyed that part.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think Hopkins is crazy. They do bring back, for some reason, the John Goodman robot as well.
Oh, my God. I was like...
Look, if we want to talk about robots and dementia, we got to make sure we talk about robots that are fat as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
this was like, what, pre-Roseanne reboot or something? So, like, did John Goodman have gambling bets or something? Like, why does he have to keep doing this? And how much will it cost so that he stops? It's so bad.
And he continues... it was so funny. Like, after the last movie and you were mentioning all the fat jokes, like...
Yeah.
I for some reason, like, it didn't, like, when I was watching the last one, I was just annoyed by all his jokes, but I wasn't like, oh, he's making fun of how fat he is or talking about that all the time. But this movie, now I realized it, and then there's that part at the end when they're, like, zero gravity, and he's like, oh, my God, zero grav? And he, like, calls it out, like, oh, I've got no weight. I don't remember exactly it's what he so said, but silly. It's like.
And then, okay, also, I am psychic because I don't know why, but in the second movie when we recorded, I was like, I feel like every time I hear a new Transformer talk, I just assume that it's probably Steve Buscemi's voice, right? And that has continued throughout all the movies. I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's Steve Buscemi. It really was him this time. Like, I was like, oh yep. my God, it's real. Like,
yeah,
I did think of you when he yes, showed up. And I was like, finally right. Steve Buscemi.
It was.
Again,
day character. Day trader.
Yeah.
That only exists so that he can give us exposition mm-hmm. and try to steal another magic artifact from yeah. Mark Wahlberg.
The talisman.
Okay, but so how did where do the baby Transformers come from?
I was going to say, before we move off Day Trader, it was like, all we got to know, there's only one thing that you need to know about Day Trader.
Day Trader is a punk-ass bitch.
Yeah, just so you know.
Yeah.
Is that Bumblebee's voice?
That's Bumblebee's voice.
This is such bullshit.
So John Goodman had a very interesting 2017 in that he was in Atomic Blonde, Kong Skull Island, Valerian, and Transformers.
Valerian.
I need a Valerian sequel just so I can hear Elizabeth
That was another movie. Like, I really feel like I was in a yes phase when I went to go see this, like, in 2017. Whatever Justin was like, we're going to see this. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. I was just, like, going because I also saw Valerian with you. Yeah. Someone.
I also missed, I did not see Valerian at that time because the first time I saw it was for a live How Did This Get Made?
Oh, boy.
Okay. That's fun.
Yeah.
Eliz was talking about the, baby dinosaur.
Yeah, where do they come from?
I don't know. And I was going to say, that's another thing that they pick and choose. They're like, at the end of the last movie, they're like, go, Dinobots, you are free.
Yeah.
Be free.
And now they're like, you have to stay in this.
They're like, they're like,
live
well,
in the junkyard.
Yeah, with Mark Wahlberg.
The movie, like, even giants. Though the Transformers yes. saved the world again in the last movie, they status quo is the same. Like, we hate the Transformers. They're being hunted.
Except Castro. He gets it.
That's true. Yeah, Castro cool gets it.
I forgot about all the Cuba stuff.
I mean, that's the
that's
only
where Turturro is.
Castro gets it. Turturro they can live stuff. Openly in Cuba.
Oh, my God.
He's got a robot named Rodrigo or something. I don't know.
He's, like, negotiating for his placement in the most secret society of all time.
Yeah,
like,
and
he's also
like
I'll play street ball with you
yeah.
in one set. Give me five more minutes.
Yeah, I'm on the phone.
I want to be a Wiccan.
But, it's like so Grimlock is there, weirdly, and I was like, oh, wow, they only kept Grimlock. But then when the...
No, they're all there, yeah.
Yeah, it's like when the feds show up and attack, suddenly then the Triceratops is there and everything. It's like, I don't know.
And then they all just, like, asexually reproduced a miniature version right. of themselves?
I don't know.
Well, they made the Dinobots with reptile DNA.
And as
we all know,
yeah.
they can gender swap.
Yeah. Was that a special feature with Mr. DNA?
The Dinobots are in the beginning, and then they just disappear. There's this huge battle at the end. They're not. I don't think they're even.
I couldn't tell you if they were in that.
Yeah, I don't think they're there.
Because
there's a dragon.
We level up to a dragon.
That's a different dragon. Yeah, that one has three heads, unlike the pterodactyl, which had two heads.
What's that dragon has a specific name? Let's find
out.
It's all the knights put together.
Yeah. And I love that. That his main move is just like, I'm going to use my body to squish everyone. Like, it breathes fire and has the heads, but it just goes straight into the ground and rolls like a dog or something. And that's how it kills people.
I will say, if you're an invincible metal titan, that's like a pretty good move.
It's a good move.
That's a good move.
So File, where do the baby Dinobots come from? Yeah. Under, where do the baby cars come from? And we'll just have to live with it.
They're just there.
I never think about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about it.
Tyler? That dragon is called Dragonstorm.
Oh,
of course. That's about as good as Nitro Zeus.
Zeus was a good one.
Was that recognition in your voice right there? Are you familiar with him?
No, I don't know anything about it. I'm just like remembering the stupid
Nitro
names
Zeus
of the...
does sound like a Jaeger from Pacific Rim, though.
The names of all those Decepticons that we get introduced in that montage situation are all terrible names.
Gypsy Danger, Crimson Typhoon,
Dreadbot. Nitro Zeus.
No, not Dreadbot.
No, they wouldn't let him have Berserker or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
But,
Other crazy character, I don't know, motivations maybe that are insane is just when Mark and, what's her name? Victoria?
Her name is Vivian.
Vivian?
Vivian!
When Where's Vivian? Mark Wahlberg takes his shirt off.
Oh, right.
Looks great.
Sure.
He does.
And she loses her mind.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, are we playing around with this? Is this a new relationship kind of thing? Are we building? Are we rebuilding the nuclear family? I'm not sure.
Are you talking about how when, like, I think moments later that there is a whole bit about them, like, destroying her dad's study for no fucking reason? And then, like, all of the moms being like, oh, they're fucking in there.
I think that was before.
I want to go see. Yeah, that was before.
I did like the
which
the
is like an scene. Which is like an Austin Powers bit.
Yeah,
like, I did like the moment when he's they're
I
like,
God, how crazy that scene gets. Wow. Yeah.
I did like when it first kicks off. You know, they're like they're looking for information because apparently she's the only one who knows where the staff is or whatever. And I like
and hates her dad.
I like when he walks in there and he picks up that horse. He's like, it's probably inside this fucking stupid horse. Like guys do shit like that all the time, and he just breaks it.
And I like how like as much as she hates her dad, she's not like. Dude,
like, she doesn't stop it.
Those are priceless artifacts.
Like, she's a professor. Yeah, I love a museum. Shit.
She's a professor.
She works at a museum.
Don't they run back to preserve? She's like, it's just dusty books, but like she wants to save, like preserve artifacts. That's why that's happening.
Oh my God.
I love that.
After they got done smashing him.
We introduce her character. She's like, you know, leading a tour and like teaching everyone in the school. At the museum or whatever, and I love that they have paintings of at the museum of like literally what happened in the past, and she's just like but the dragons are actually the catapults, and none of this is real. Merlin wasn't real, and it's like
but you've seen Transformers before,
yeah.
What do you know?
Yeah,
and we know that they were here at the dawn of like life on the planet.
I know.
We know that. I know. Magic is real, and it was discovered on an alien ship.
Transformium.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And also, like, the fact that they get together, even though when Mark Wahlberg first meets her, he keeps calling her, like, British lady or whatever, and then he calls her a stripper. He says she looks like a stripper because she's just wearing a regular, plain black dress that is not particularly revealing in any way, and he's like, you look like a stripper.
As established in previous episodes, Mark Wahlberg in this series has opinions on women's clothes.
That's true. He sure does. Yeah, but I do like that he got punched by the robot butler for calling her a stripper. I was like, all right.
Yeah, that is his number two character trait. After being an inventor.
And I got opinions about clothing.
Yeah.
I got it.
I did remember that the shirt off, oh my God, I'm losing my mind scene is later on the submarine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Cogman.
Do it again. It begins. At last, Cogman. It begins.
At last. The graviton. I love it. So then Cogman, who wants them to fuck.
For some reason.
He makes them a very romantic sushi dinner.
He jumps out of the torpedo tube.
He ejects himself out of the sub.
Because he's just like yelling all over the place, and then all of a sudden he's just like, bye! And it's like, what is happening? Where is he going? Like, what the fuck? And they're just like, that crazy fucking guy just launched himself out.
And then he comes back with two fish
that
he's like, breaking their necks in the process while he's walking down he's like, the hallway.
He's like kicking them. It's like, I mean, I got to say, the whole Anthony Hopkins Cogman thing is like the best part of the film
it's
for
insane.
Me. And like so much of it is like out of a different fucking movie.
Oh, yeah.
But it's
maybe
like
a better movie, a funnier movie, because the first time is when Cogman is like, hey, master, that weird thing. That weird thing that we've
been waiting to have been waiting
thousands of years. It's happening. And I was like,
it's so funny.
And then what's the name of the lady that tries to booty call Anthony Hopkins? And he's like, do you want to snuggle with
Agnes?
Agnes or whatever. And he's like, I would love to, but I don't have time right now.
That
or
whole scene, like, Cogman's driving this, you know, awesome car with Anthony Hopkins, and he's like, get me out of here and don't let them see me or whatever. And then, again, much like the Galvatron incident where he immediately starts killing people, Cogman is driving like a maniac and people are dying, and Anthony Hopkins is literally like, Jesus, you don't have to kill people. And one of the other things, you know, like watching this again, I was like, I don't remember a lot of stuff in this movie. I don't recall anything about the submarine or any of that shit.
Nope.
One thing I did remember that I think is actually really funny to me and out of a totally different movie again is like this whole gag and idea when like Anthony Hopkins is like explaining the epic backstory of like what really happened with King Arthur, and the music like in the movie really intense, like all of a sudden. And then like, first of all, you find out that the first time it's like Cogman playing the organ. Because I remember in the theater like, wow, this music is pretty over the top. Yeah. And then it's like, it's just happening and he tells him to shut up or whatever. And then like it goes back and it happens again. And like
him singing opera.
I've got this clip like, and I just love the interplay of like, you know, Anthony Hopkins is just telling him to shut the hell up or whatever. And then this happens at the end.
You're saying he traveled the whole universe to find me?
No, not you specifically. Not a failed inventor from the state of Texas. No, God forbid.
Stop it!
What?
You know, if you don't stop it, I will send you back to Sabaton in a little tiny box.
Oh, scary.
Jim Carter is great as Cogman.
The energy of the crazy energy of Cogman, and the fact that he's like, this guy's a psychopath, and he's like, I prefer a sociopath.
Yeah.
I mean, his energy, and then Anthony Hopkins just like yelling at people and like saying funny shit the whole time. I just thought it was great.
You don't need Mark Wahlberg.
No. Like we said, he's having like really a blast.
I remember when he arrives in the movie, and it's like it's during the Stand By Me portion of the movie when they're going through.
You want to see a dead Autobot?
Yep. and then I can't even fucking remember. Maybe an Autobot comes to life, but anyways, no turf comes. The turfs come to start bombing them for some reason.
No, an Autobot comes to like Canopy.
Poor Canopy.
Oh my god! Yeah. Talk about the dumbest Transformer.
Oh, yeah. He was also her Canopy.
He can have a bunch of trash on his back.
Ugh.
We barely knew ye, Canopy. Yeah.
And then
Mark Wahlberg just called him Easy Up.
Mark Wahlberg just shows up out of nowhere. And he's throwing grenades. He's throwing grenades at the Autobots. He's been doing this for years. It's Mad Max.
Yeah. Of course.
It's so weird.
He's like pop quiz hot shot. Like
he's like this.
Hi, tough guy. I got a pop quiz for you.
I only took that part.
Yeah. From Isabel of like, when you're trying to like fix all these Transformers. Like, why are you doing this? They don't need you to do this.
Clip request. Did you happen to pull a clip of Anthony Hopkins explaining his family's portraits?
I will say that I have a...
Hi, tough guy. I got a pop quiz for you.
I dare you to name all the Witwickins in one breath. Go!
Catherine the Great, Empress of all Russia. General Washington, William Shakespeare. Queen Elizabeth of England. Abraham Lincoln. Harriet Tubman. The Wright Brothers. Giotto, Michelangelo. Darwin. Churchill. Einstein. Stephen Hawking. Henry V. Leonardo da Vinci. Newton. Lavoisier. Beethoven. Marlowe. Edmund Hillary. Teddy Roosevelt. Copernicus. Tesla.
Oh my god, he did it!
He did it!
One breath.
Sam Witwicky doesn't even get a name drop. No. Only in his bad eBay profile photo is there.
So is it? Here's a question for you.
Ladies Man 217.
Yeah.
They turn the whole Witwicky family motto of like, there's no sacrifice, or no, there's no victory without sacrifice, into like the whole theme of this movie.
Yeah.
But like, where along the line do you think that someone was like, We're part of the Witwicky clan, and we're gonna name our family name Witwicky. Because like all those people he lists off, they're not all last name Witwicky.
No. I mean, I think that was just like part of it, but yeah. I mean, probably they made him change it to Ellis Island.
The best part about like those names, like that list of names, is so many of them are contemporary, and like putting Teddy Roosevelt on there Bumblebee was a Rough Rider, he fucked up Cuba.
Yeah, the
Al Franken.
No, yeah. I said not Franklin Roosevelt. Al Franken. That would have been great.
Al Franken.
And so they throw Harriet Tubman in there, but they don't go as far as to be like Martin Luther King they throw Stephen Hawking under the bus.
They put Frederick Douglass in there too. What were they doing?
The scene is so funny because it's just like it's showing all these like shots of things, and like some of them are just like the photo of the person. So you're like, oh yeah, it's that person. And some of them, like when they say Leonardo da Vinci, it's like, oh, there's like a da Vinci style drawing of a Transformer. Or like there's other ones where it's like, oh, there's photos of the Transformers in World War II.
Establishes that like Merlin is not the first person to interact with them.
But also just like they could have done better. Yeah. Every moment in which the Transformers were involved, they just didn't do a very good job, because most of those things still sucked.
Yes.
And they still remain somehow a secret. Even though literally a Transformer and watch killed Hitler.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
That's the watch that killed Hitler.
That was funny.
Shut up. Shut up.
I can't believe none of us spoke over that.
I know.
Wow, I don't even remember that in the movie.
It's when he's yelling at the prime minister. That's so funny.
Okay, so like, what's the deal with Hot Rod? Is he a character from
Hot Rod?
So Hot Rod in the animated movie, where Orson Welles does voice Unicron.
Yes.
Optimus Prime dies,
and that was a big deal.
And Hot Rod takes over leading the Autobots.
Oh,
but he's not French.
French. It's not voiced by Omar Sy in the slightest.
And does he Lupin have the ability to stop time in a bubble?
No. I don't think so.
Like in Dungeons and Dragons.
No, he's just like a Camaro, I think.
Okay.
I also like that apparently when he does it, he always has to be like, I'm a stopping time.
Yeah, I'm you gotta tell
everybody.
I'm gonna
stop time. Here we go. I'm stopping time. Stop time. But stop time. Yeah, he's like a, I mean, he's a major character from the original, like, animated film. But.
All right.
I don't think he, I don't know if he maintained a long time because people were like, why the fuck you go Optimus? And they brought Optimus back eventually.
The
seems,
moon
seems to happen a lot.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest,
I think the moon gets fully destroyed.
It does.
It's hard to say. Which,
if that happened, all dead. All of us.
Well, I like that they.
I might have been in the bathroom for that point or something, getting another drink. I have
they
no
show,
idea.
So yeah, show when Cybertron's coming back, it just like, hey, remember Dark of the Moon?
Yeah.
Fuck that movie.
There's that ship, and it's gone. Yeah. I like that they have Tony Hale in here as like
that's true.
A JPL like engineer.
Yeah, NASA scientist guy. And he's there talking about all the how smart he is with all the math and physics, but no one ever mentions like that, you know, I think you mentioned it before, like if another planet was that close, everyone would just be
dead.
All dead. But in this movie they're like, it'll be fine for 2 hours.
Well, and spoiler, but at the end of the movie, the other planet is just
still there
attached to Earth and we're not all dead.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
And on top of that, Optimus is like, come home, Autobots.
Yeah, and more of them. I mean, they've already been dropping randomly from the sky, but now more coming.
That's why they needed it. They needed the two planets to connect so that the Autobots can, the Transformers can live on one side of the giant planet ball, and the human beings can live on the other side of the giant planet ball. And the gravitational field will not be affected in any.
What if Cybertron and Earth kissed?
Oh,
with tongue.
I mean, it's funny.
So
that
Stonehenge is the mouth. Then is that what we're?
Let's go with math. Let's go with math.
Define kiss.
Oh God.
Okay.
Hey, whatever Quintessa wants.
It's just funny that like, her plan was I guess the same as Sentinel Prime. Like, bring Cybertron here. And she was going to use the power of Unicron to reconstitute Cybertron, I guess.
Maybe.
Energy transfer is still happening. I know that. Energy transfer is still happening. They say that a lot.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Despite all the like bad jokes in this movie, the time that I laughed the hardest was when Optimus unironically just yelled out to everybody, like, I will lead the way into her chamber. And I was like, like I actually was like, hey, see what you did there, Optimus?
I'm telling you. Sexual coming of age.
Had a great time. He really did, yeah.
It's like, Optimus, you're listening to a lot of conservative radio.
Yes, to clarify, when I say Optimus Prime went away to college, it was not a cute liberal arts college.
Right.
It was like,
He went to Wharton.
Just became.
Why should you protect them? Protect our planet instead.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Make
so like,
Cybertron
so long as you slap me again, I'll do whatever you do.
Okay. Seriously, thinking of the politics of this movie, if it came out in 2023, would it be called a woke movie? Would the people hate it because it is about, is it a climate change metaphor? Is it a metaphor about refugees? Is the entire series a metaphor about refugees? There's so many genuinely good scenes about Anthony Hopkins using the back door to basically break into Buckingham Palace and tell the prime minister to shut up because climate change is happening and climate change is going to kill us. Like, that's kind of what he's screaming about. And I just kept thinking about it. I was like, would Conservatives hate this movie.
They never get it, though. They always think it's about them. Like, there is a military guy in this movie, and I talk to Tyler about this constantly because I spent all the pandemic watching the Netflix shows. Yeah. There's a guy with a big old Punisher logo on his shoulder, which, like, the conservative people, they just take whatever characters they like and, like, that's our character for pop culture, despite the fact that that character would hate me.
Yes,
that's fair. Because that is from my viewpoint right now. Is I'm like, wow, the militant bad guys in this movie are called the TERFs. Interesting. Like, very easy for me to pick my action figures.
I don't think that they would see it as woke because I don't think that they would. It's just like there's just too much military flash there. It's like
they don't understand the nuance. There's literally, you have Optimus Prime. Well, you know, they'll miss the lines like where Optimus Prime is literally like, you know, Earth is the only place that has ever like let me call.
That's true.
At home, you know, and those things will go over their head and they'll just be like, yeah, but did you see when the airplane shot the thing? That's what it'll do.
Yeah. It's planetary exceptionalism. The military forced them to have like 20 minutes of flying squirrel guys, and I said they weren't cool, but you guys said they were cool. So my question for this movie is, do people think that Ospreys look cool? Does the military think that Ospreys look cool? And that, like, to me, they just look like fat planes with two little helicopter things on the top.
Yeah, but look how fat they are.
Why did they focus on the Ospreys so much? What is cool about them?
I think it's because they could carry the troops.
Hold on. What if I said the word battle goose to you? Are you now on board?
No, that means nothing to me.
Battle goose.
Is that what they're called?
No, but I want to call them that.
Yeah, me too.
Well, and then, so sure, they carry in all the troops, and then instead of landing like a normal plane, they all, every single one of them crashes into the surface like a bunch of chumps, and everybody falls out, and they're like, it doesn't make it look cool at all.
In their defense, someone scattered a bunch of breadcrumbs.
Well, and the whole thing with the Ospreys was that they sucked so much that they couldn't get up there on their own in the first place, and they had to ride on top of the Transformers ship and then get dropped off.
I feel like it's some like product placement tax loophole write-off kind of thing where the government spent too much money developing the Ospreys.
Oh, absolutely.
So they're like, well, then we'll just put them in the movies, okay? Yeah. We'll use them, and then Warner Brothers or Paramount will fucking rent them out and put them in their Transformers 10 movie. Mm-hmm. And then they have a purpose, and
but they just make the military look lamer.
Well,
like there are so many. I mean, they probably have so many planes that actually look kind of cool, but I guess so. Yeah.
Probably not.
Fair enough.
I think that you're right. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, that was a project that we spent a couple billion dollars on. Not super practical.
We got a lamer. Yeah.
Give him to Mikey Bay.
And then speaking of Mikey Bay, I do think I meant to mention this at the beginning when I was talking about just my overall perception of Transformers, but it is kind of crazy that like these movies are kind of just kids movies.
Sure.
Mm. Yeah.
Very successful four quadrant kids movies, very violent.
Allegedly.
Kids movies. It is just funny to me that Michael Bay did like a five movie, basically kids franchise.
Thing. Yeah.
Just it's all crazy. These movies that are so goofy.
After being like probably one of the biggest R-rated filmmakers of the 90s.
That's true. Yeah. I think he found his way to be like leering and weird. And
It's like after this movie, I was like, oh, he did this because he found he could like do whatever crazy shit.
Yeah,
like,
there was
could,
money.
He could do a King Arthur story that maybe someone won't give him a whole movie to do King Arthur story. He could do World War II.
Does he want to do a whole King Arthur story?
He does.
But he wants to play. I think he does. He wants to play in that world at least for a second, you know. That was my thought.
Instead, Guy Ritchie got to do it.
Yeah.
And Antoine Fuqua.
That
was another one of my favorite movies at one point in my life. Do you know the story? If he was only supposed to do four, what made him come back for number five? I mean, aside from a massive.
There was this beeping sound of a Brinks truck backing up.
It's like, ooh, my favorite.
Ooh, my clarion call. What's that?
I don't know the exact story. I was going to see if I could look it up.
I believe that if I had to guess, it was that his big independent movie, Pin Gain, didn't do as well as he thought it was.
And that was probably a Paramount movie
as
well.
And couldn't get the traction. And so it was like, the thing I actually want to make, I can't make.
That's like the small print contract is like, if Pain and Gain does not gross $75 million worldwide, you have to direct
Which Pain and Gain would be a fucking great movie. It was 90 minutes long. Wow.
And like,
maybe.
And what we can talk about here is there's a lot of shit in this movie that looks cool.
Yes.
A lot of stuff that like, that's really
one
like,
of the best things about the Michael Bay action aesthetic is that everything creates sparks, everything. And it's obviously
practical,
much more
practical sparks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like it just looks like it has a really cool texture. And I would say, watching the first Transformers movie, it holds up way better than most of the like, you know, CGI rest mill stuff that we have now. Mm-hmm. And I would say that this one I include in that statement. It looks really good.
I would say 80% of this movie does, and you can tell that there's parts of it where they had to like pave over whatever like narrative corners they put it in. There are shots in this movie that look like CW CG. Like
there's a like the main times that it looks bad to me are like when an actor is close up on a fake thing. Like that like when Mark Wahlberg is on top of a ship or something, like that looks really fake. But the robots in the real world, that looks like, oh, that robot is there.
In the third act, when Vivian jumps off the ship and Optimus goes and catches her, like that looks like CG from 15
years
ago.
In the slow motion.
And yeah.
I thought when Bumblebee and Optimus were fighting, it looked really bad. Something about the lighting on the color like didn't look right to me.
I don't think that looks so bad. Some reason.
Until they hear Bumblebee's voice.
Is that your real voice? I haven't heard it in years.
Yeah.
Since Cybertron. Or maybe a couple movies ago.
I don't know. Hard to remember.
I don't understand how he got his voice back, also.
It doesn't make sense.
They give him a voice box, and he has a lady voice, and so he's like, I would literally rather not talk and continue to use the radio.
He rips his throat.
He rips it back out. Okay. Yeah. He rips it out.
So then how does he get it back later?
The power of love. I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, you didn't see that. You didn't see that Huey Lewis game.
Yeah, yeah.
Smash the Huey Lewis button.
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah, Justin, get on the Huey Lewis button for every episode.
I didn't think about that.
I brought one actually.
I didn't think about that. I was going to say that, like, I meant to bring this up a bunch of times, but I do think that a lot of the like coolness of these movies and the fact that these look really good is lost when you're watching it at home. Like we not everybody, but we've seen a lot of these movies in like on the biggest screens you can see them on with the best projection, and like part of that it makes the movie great. I watch this, I have the 4K Blu-ray for this, but I don't have a crazy TV. But one thing I do remember when this movie came out, too, is that everyone was talking about the crazy aspect ratios.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I don't know if does yours do this, too?
I rented it on Amazon.
I rented it. Why is it like that?
I don't know, but it changes.
That's not normal, right?
Every 5 seconds.
Because normally they'll have like scenes shot in IMAX, it'll change for an entire scene. But this, even when they're just sitting there having a conversation,
like one half will be. It's crazy.
That's what induces the stroke.
Every shot changed aspect ratio.
Because I think he probably shot, like, this is right around where you're getting to, like, 4K, 8K, like, where he could probably just put 10 different cameras shooting at different aspect ratios, shooting whatever it is, on every scene. So the coverage is just like, all right, I've set up 15 cameras, go.
It's just weird because you're like,
cuts in between them indiscriminately.
But then you're like watching the whole movie like, okay, why did he decide that this one needed to be an IMAX?
Yeah, and like, okay, maybe I'm just like a stupid Philistine, but okay, so if he shot some of it in a way bigger aspect ratio, but then decided to use that shot later in betweenst other ones that were of another one, couldn't he like crop it? Or would that be the end of the world?
I know. I'm like, was he too busy counting his money? Like,
I don't really know. I don't really know how that works.
He probably, for whatever reason, had narrative motivations.
Okay. Even they're just sitting there having a conversation in the mansion. And when it's on her, it's in one aspect ratio. When it goes back to Mark Wahlberg, it changes another one. And like, it's so disorienting. There's at least three different ones all in one scene.
Some aspect ratios make visual effects cheaper.
Oh. I will say I like the scale of this whole final action sequence more than the last film.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, the scale of this final action sequence makes it like, yeah, he would make a pretty dope Halo movie if you gave him the money.
I did think that Mark Wahlberg was just sliding all over the place too many times.
There's too much sliding. Okay, so I think we complimented them when Optimus and Bumblebee were catching Shia and
yes.
Duhamel and what's-her-face, and you know, because they always caught them and like... But in this one, they never catch them, or they never just pick them up and drive them somewhere. Like, what? You gotta run. You gotta run for 3 miles in that direction, even though we could just pick you up and either fly or drive you to the destination. We're gonna let you just run and slide around. Like, they never catch them in this one.
Optimus catches them at the end to save their lives.
I guess.
But out of the time bubble.
A lot of sliding.
Oh, I forgot there was a time.
Time stop.
But it's like, that whole, you know, like, a lot of that stuff looks stupid, but... I just feel like there's so many things where I'm just like, that looks really cool. Like Optimus blasting out of there after catching them. Like, I think that looks, and like the giant thing crashing into the ground. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. There's
the spectacle is there. And I think that's worth it.
Yeah.
It looks, the planet's crashing looks cool, I guess. But
like, yeah, the shots of the like anchors basically of, Cybertron into the world looks, it's like a cool visual.
Yep.
Even though I
did like seeing Stonehenge get destroyed, because as you know, I famously walked 10 miles to Stonehenge. Was duped into this.
and it was disappointing.
It was disappointing after 10 miles when you were promised approximately 4 is definitely, you know, rough. But so I was like, yeah, that's right, Stonehenge. Take it.
Yeah.
You couldn't just use one of the ley lines to teleport back to the start?
I guess so, yeah. But
this is why she's so bitter.
Yeah.
Because the Transformers did not pick her up.
They should have. I was just sliding, yeah.
Sliding forever.
I still don't know why, but Megatron and all them show up to try and get involved. And then at some point, Megatron and Optimus are like, we were brothers once. And I'm like, when was that?
Yeah.
Like, when?
I'll tell you, it's coming up in the animated film that's coming out next year.
Okay.
But
I like,
we'll get to that, I guess.
Are we going to watch that? Is that part of this?
I think it is.
Oh, okay.
Oh, are we watching that?
It's another Michael Bay.
But we didn't watch the old one, animated one.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
We are Bumblebee.
You got to keep going.
That's the next one. I mean, I think we'll have to do it because I think it's another, Steven Spielberg, Michael Bay
producer. Okay, sure, fine.
Whatever. Okay,
we'll
all right.
We'll probably do it.
Paramount Plus.
We'll see it when the trailer comes out.
They wanted a Charles Xavier Magneto.
They've got Captain America playing Optimus Prime.
Oh, okay.
Chris Evans. Yeah, but...
it worked out so well for Lightyear.
Right, that's true.
So good.
That's true. Yeah.
I almost just said be nice to Lightyear, but I was like, no, that movie's
so nice. Didn't have that. It was fine. Yeah.
It was okay. This was not good.
Kids love Lightyear.
Kids love time dilation.
Yeah, they do.
Anyway, I don't know what else. That was pretty much all. I don't know. I thought it was stupid at the very end. They become cars again to drive out of the wreckage.
That was really funny.
I was thinking about that, and it is one of the funniest. It's like, it's the Western centricity of all these movies, right? Where it's like, we're talking about like, oh, they've been here for all of history. Here's a bunch of white people you've never heard of. Like that you've heard of. They haven't been anywhere else on the planet. And then it's like alien technology, all this other shit. And it's just like, it's the end of the world. Everything's happening. But like, you know what? The fastest thing that can outrun the apocalypse? In a fucking American built truck, baby. and here it comes screaming out of a dust store.
Hell yeah.
It's like, these immigrants they can't be themselves. They have to turn into one of us to escape.
I did.
Yeah. That's what it's doing.
I did recall.
Woke.
Yeah. I did recall at the end, like the entire end sequence, they're like, where is Optimus? What's he doing? Where is he? And I'm like singing like, I don't even know where he is. Why isn't he just there fighting?
And they're like, where is Vivian? She can be the only person.
That happens Merlin. In all of the movies. Like, they cannot find good reasons for Optimus not to. Because like, whenever he's there, he's going to win.
Yeah.
So it's just like, well, where is he? It's like, oh, he's caught in a net, I guess.
Breaking up with his girlfriend. I don't know.
And he was like gone so long that when he says like,
did you forget who I am?
Yes.
I was like so glad that like 2 seconds later he's like,
I am Optimus Prime.
Oh, right.
You just told us your name was Nemesis Prime like 10 minutes ago.
Do you know who you are, bro? Do you? Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Call me Nemesis now.
Nemesis Hymanson.
actually knew someone in band named Nemesis.
What?
Yeah, girl.
Like a real name?
Yeah, her name was Nemesis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Bold choice.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
The planets are stuck like that. The end.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. They're just like, yeah, you, like you said, they're like, more Optimus, more Autobots, come on down. You guys.
What
like,
if we kissed in the shadow of Mars?
No.
But wait. But that's not the actual ending, is what? It? We get a little post credits. Like, clearly they're planning for another movie here.
That's
with,
right.
Gemma Chan showing up in real life human form. To be like, don't you touch that horn. Yeah. He doesn't like it when you touch the horns of Unicron.
I can show you how to kill him.
I didn't watch this part.
No, what? But I mean, okay.
I don't know if literally this is a bit or not. Beginning of the credit.
No, it's a post credits.
Yeah, they have it. It's basically like
I turned this movie off.
I know very a lot of people. I know a lot of people don't like Eternals, but like Eternals is way better than this and has a bunch of the same shit. Yeah. Specifically with Gemma Chan being like, this planet is now a robot.
That's true.
And
that's
I'm
true.
In charge. Okay.
That's true. You're right.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with the new movie, but like Unicron is seemingly the main bad guy. So,
well, okay,
but it's
in
the 90s.
It's
in the 90s.
Yeah, it takes place in the 90s. I know that's in the trailer.
But
so.
Who knows? Maybe that's, you know, maybe it could all loop back around and that's how I don't fucking know.
Wait, you're saying the Flash is going to be in this?
No.
No.
Michael Keaton plays Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton returning as Bumblebee.
No, that would actually be cool where the only like cassette tape he has just jumps between various Michael Keaton voices.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Beetlejuice for a little while.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Beetlejuice. Yeah.
I did like when
Multiplicity.
Anthony Hopkins is like, I've met you before, Bumblebee, and Mark Wahlberg's like, do you know this guy? And he plays like, I don't fuck with you.
Yeah.
which I tried to license before and it's hard. So I was like, okay, well, it's expensive. But,
okay.
I did like that part.
I thought it was pretty funny.
And then Cogman, Anthony Hopkins dies.
He gets blown the fuck up by Megatron, of all people. Yes. I was like, damn, he did not need to get shot point blank with a robot gun.
Why did he think he could stop him?
I don't know.
He had that robot dementia.
And then Cogman is like, of all the earls I served, you were
the earliest.
The coolest.
Yeah. I thought he was going to make the Jungle Cruise joke. I thought he was going to say, of all the earls I've ever served, you were the most recent.
He says you're the coolest. Which is
coolest.
Like, yeah, Michael Bay
and
thought
then
that was cool.
It cuts away.
Yeah. I do have I have these other clips I didn't play, but I'll play them just for now.
Yeah.
Because most of my clips were Anthony Hopkins because he was just the funniest
fucking
thing.
Keep going.
You know, it's like he had this one.
Yes, but you want to know, don't you, dude?
Don't you, dude? And then I laughed really hard when they run over to the, submarine museum. And they're like,
all right, I've got them. They just love submarines.
They just love submarines. And then it cuts to him, like, yelling at all the people that are just there. And he's like,
and more fat shaming. More fat shaming for no reason. Ship. He's like, get your fat ass out of the way.
And
like,
he's got
a random guy.
He's got that weird line where it's like, can you imagine all the people being here? And just a bunch of guys, like, stuck in here is actually kind of gross. Like, disgusting, but yeah, I don't know. I was like wondering if half the stuff that he said was like improvised by him or what, but so funny.
I feel like he understood how impossible like the movie as a whole was, so he's like, all right, the goal then is watchability.
Yeah.
Don't notice the duct tape.
Yeah, I'm just glad he had fun.
I'm going to chew scenery.
Yeah. Like, just wants to play around.
Yeah.
Having fun.
Why not?
He's the most watchable part of the movie.
Absolutely. And like, honestly, these movies at this point like could use a laugh. So it's like, you know, I enjoyed that part.
That's not at the expense of other people or races.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, I guess.
A genuine laugh, not women. A cheap punching down laugh.
Yeah, nobody yelled directly at an old woman, but they did make fun of those old women that were, so.
It's true.
Does she yell at one of the old grandmas for swiping on Tinder, whatever they're doing? They're like looking at like eHarmony profiles or something like that.
I think she yells at them, but I don't think she is fully like, shut the F up, you stupid bitch, which is like what guys have done in every other movie in this series. Like, do an
well,
old
I
woman.
Mean, but Anthony Hopkins does do that on the ship. Like, he does, there's a scene of an old man yelling, get the fuck out of the way. I don't think there's an old woman there, to your point.
Yeah, true. I don't know. I just wish instead of the military money,
the movie's woke.
despite the thing about Beijing will save everyone in Hong Kong, I would have rather had the Chinese money back than the military money back. Yes,
I agree.
I thought I saw a Chinese company at the front.
Maybe there they was. Still did.
Yeah, they still did.
Oh, they still gave money, but just didn't insist on...
This was still at that time where there was like an alternate cut of Iron Man 3. That
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Does anyone have anything else to say about The Last Knight? By the way, all of you guys who went into this thinking that Optimus Prime was The Last Knight, you're wrong. It's Mark Wahlberg.
For some reason.
Cade
Yeager's The Last
bracelet
Knight.
Transformer is actually a sword.
Yeah.
That touched his dick.
It went down.
They made a point.
Really
that was during the romantic scene of the submarine.
Yeah, like so weird. So like, why?
I mean, why? Excalibur. Yeah.
Excalibur
is the name of his wiener.
I do like that part where he like stops Megatron from killing the dude, right? Or
with the sword.
Yeah.
It's Optimus. Yeah.
Megatron
Optimus's head off, and then Mark Wahlberg
pulls out his dick. I mean Excalibur.
So he succeeds, and then
Eliz wants no part of this.
I was like, why do they put the humans so close up all the time? And like he would have been dead and squished 600 million times.
There's so many times in this movie where it's like Bumblebee kicks a human, or like people are just like it would be fucking putty.
Just catch me. I know you didn't mean it. Just catch me at least. That's so true. Like a human being will die if they get hit by a car at like 25 miles an hour. Like, we are very fragile.
What did you think about the callback of the tire to the face in that like Bumblebee scene where he splits into a million pieces?
Oh, that was cool.
Oh, I did like that.
And he does
that.
Hit the tire with him again. Like,
yeah, I did like when in that very beginning, right? When Bumblebee was like, oh, I'm dead. Ha ha. And then JK. Like, hey, yeah. I liked that because I like it when they think outside of the two forms.
There were some inventive
to attack everybody.
Action sequences.
Yeah. So I don't know who X Ambassadors is, but maybe you do.
Oh yeah, we use them a bunch on Lucifer. They're like a big rock. They're like
When I look them up, I have heard their big that unsteady song. I heard that. So
yep, that's the big one. So it was probably just like.
How do you think they
torches,
measure up?
The song is called Torches. It was alright.
Imagine Dragons. And
it's not.
There's
it
a
was
dragon
not
in this movie. And
no one
like,
can be Linkin Park.
I can't imagine using Imagine Dragons.
I thought the song was fine. It doesn't. It does. I don't think.
Does
this
it play
one,
it during the movie?
Yeah, I don't think.
Okay.
This one
I think
integrated.
They've given up on that. They're it's like, only at the no end. Longer a thing.
It's only at the end.
Okay.
It did seem like there were like an alternate version of the song in the credits that I didn't hear that has maybe like a Chinese artist on it or something. I don't know. I can't remember.
Oh. Okay.
Speaking of that,
you can't top perfection with Linkin Park.
I know.
But those were the Linkin Park ones are so good.
Yeah, man.
It's a whole meme.
But Tyler, I mean, is there anything else people want to say before we get the rating system?
Did we answer all your questions, Matt? Mm-hmm. Okay.
The ones that could be answered, I think.
Right.
I don't know if I have a rating system for this one.
What?
Pop up books about King Arthur.
Paddington wants those pop up books. How many popping books? I mean, my brain is just drawn to that insane Bud Light product placement again.
That was great.
How many unexplained baby T-Rexes would you give?
Unexplained baby Dinobots. Yeah.
Fair.
I don't know. I feel like I was very frustrated with this last night because it was so hard to just keep watching it.
While we were watching it last night?
Yeah.
That was a good one. Classic.
Yeah. So it was very difficult, and I was like, this is like the worst one yet. But I don't know. I think talking about it, I'm like, okay, maybe it's not as bad as I thought. And I don't know. I'll just give it 3 Dinobots.
I think the last one, I feel like I gave it a 2 or 3 maybe. I don't know. I'm going to bump this one up to just like a 5. But most of that is because of Anthony Hopkins and Cog.
Yeah.
I think those are just like, you know, I don't know. For me, like I could watch this again and enjoy the manic like craziness and like the fun of his performance in this. And, you know, I still honestly get a kick out of a lot of the action. There's just a lot. Like, I wish Optimus Prime was more involved. The whole Quintessa thing doesn't make any sense to me. Like, just, you know, I don't know. If you're going to have Megatron, just make it be him again. Like, I don't know. If they're going to repeat the same, like evil plan.
They're
plot
doing
beats
the
anyways.
Same thing.
Like, just yeah. Why? Let it be Megatron.
Also, like Gemma Chan was barely in anything before this. They just somehow knew they were like this. The whole world wants this lady to like step on them, so let's make her their goddess. Like, you know, like she's gonna be huge. Somebody knew. I don't know.
But I'm gonna give it 5 unexplained baby
tyrannosaurs.
Dinobots.
Yeah, dino.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm gonna go 4. I think that this one at least is trying to have some fun and kind of swings for the fences. I think it's a big old mess, but there's more interesting ideas here that are half baked from Age of Extinction that was just exhausting.
Yeah.
Mm. There's action sequences that look really cool, and there's scenes in this movie where I want to see the entire movie that is, if that scene could be expanded out into it. Yeah.
What's next?
What about Matt?
Oh, sorry. Shit. Sorry, Matt.
I gave it 3 stars on Letterboxd, which I think means I have to give it 6.
I was like, 3 on Letterboxd? That's pretty high.
That's a 6.
Yeah.
All right. Because again, I think that out of context, every scene is very fun. Mm-hmm. I think that the overall idea of this movie is so weird and ambitious that it's like, we're going to do King Arthur. We're going to do the Knights of the Round Table, where everyone has a robot familiar. It's really compelling. It goes off the rails. And I think that's like the most frustrating thing about a movie that has zero sense of rhythm is it's exhausting. You have nothing to hold on to. So it feels much longer than it is, even though it's very long, and it feels much more boring than it is, even though there's like so much happening all the time.
And it just washes over you and you're just like, huh? Yeah.
But like, I mean, I almost think like for you to be like, I saved the last 30 minutes. I'm like, this should only be watched in like 30 minute chunks.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think I had a good time watching it.
Nice.
I had a good time talking about it.
Hey, yeah. So. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Who didn't have a good time? Audiences back in 2016.
16% on the old Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and apparently Paramount lost over $100 million.
Really?
On this one.
It made $600 million domestic, and it cost $250 million to make.
Well, $605 million.
The marketing, Tyler.
Yeah. The $600 million is the worldwide total. So, yeah. Like, it didn't do so hot domestically. And, you know, maybe that's part of the reason, you know, also that Michael Bay didn't come back, because this one was like the first big flop.
And after this, they did like fully reinvent, and they're like, we need to do the anti-Transformers movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And well, what's interesting is the next movie is Bumblebee. Mm-hmm. And I believe it probably came out. I think it's
like
came
6 months
out of,
after.
Yeah. It's a year later.
Yeah.
So it came out in 2018. And my guess is it also was probably an idea that came out of this writer's room or whatever. But, you know, it's interesting. We'll talk about that and how that plays into the overall franchise and stuff next week when we talk about Bumblebee, which I'm excited about. I love Haley Steinfeld. So.
Mm-hmm.
And
that director. It's his first live-action movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Son of Air.
It'll be a good one. But in the meantime, Matt, thanks for being here, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming back. This one's going to be good. Audio will be correct.
This is great. Thank
Unless
you.
Cogman fucks up the recording.
Fucking Cogman.
Ooh.
Shut
thing.
Up.
The organ is in all of the scenes. Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
What's your letterbox again for people to...
Follow me on letterbox. It is, I think, Matchstick Man, 2 T's in Match. It's a long holiday weekend right now. I'm going to watch a lot of movies. So
Yay.
You're going to watch follow The Little Mermaid, right?
Every day. It's going to be a blast.
Pinciest mermaid.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, before we say goodbye this week, Eliz, where can people reach out?
We're almost done. So email us your suggestions for other franchises to sequelrights@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube at Sequel Rights.
And rate, follow, or subscribe wherever you're listening, or find us at Merlin's Magic Staff and bring it to Stonehenge.
Yeah.
We'll meet you there.
Walk.
But if it looks like wood, maybe just the wrong person's holding it.
Yeah, true.
You never know. Anyways, thanks for being here this week. We will be back with Bumblebee next week, which is a prequel. That's going to be fun. Interesting to talk about.
Can it be a prequel if it's after King Arthur times?
That's a good point. You're right.
After Teddy Roosevelt.
Mid-quel.
It's mid-quel.
It's got to be a pre-dinosaur.
It's going to be mid.
It's going to be mid. Oh, boy. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week when we're back with Bumblebee. See you then.
Grumblebee.
Bring on the force of nature. Bring on the storm that rages. And if you get lost in the shadows, there's a fighter inside you to be the light that guides you.